Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Labor Department today says that inflation was limited last month because of falling gasoline and food costs. The producer price index fell 0.1% in September from the previous month. Wholesale gas prices dropped 2.6%. Food costs fell 0.7% because of lower prices for corn, soybeans, and meats. Excluding the volatile categories of food, energy, and retailer and wholesaler profit margins, prices dropped 0.1%. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NASS released its latest crop progress report for the week ending October the 12th. The numbers look like this. Corn rated mature 87% versus 77% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 89%. Corn harvested 24% versus 17% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 43%. In Illinois, 35% of the corn crop is in the bin versus 23% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 54%. For Indiana, 25% of the corn crop has been harvested versus 18% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 42%. Soybeans dropping leaves 91% versus 83% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 91%. Soybeans harvested 40% versus 20% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 53%. For Illinois, 29% of the soybean crop has been harvested versus 18% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 52%. If the opening bell is any indication, it looks like the Dow Jones average is headed for a fourth straight day of declines, currently trading 16,018. It's down 237 points. The NASDAQ 3741 down 70, and the S&P 500 is 1838 down 36. Join us November 24th for our first ever WILL Egg Farm Assets Conference at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. Our on-air analysts will be all there talking about corn, soybeans, and cash grain marketing, and we've lined up experts from the U of I College of ACES to take up farmland values, crop insurance, and the ARC-PLC decision. The cost is $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065. Or on our secure website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. Well, it's been an interesting few days with the rain widespread across almost all of the Midwest except for the Northwest, but we are seeing an improving trend, and this is the last in our long series of storm systems that have impacted the region. We are going to see some lingering rainfall occur today. These will be showers and some brief periods of drizzle that will occur across parts of Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio, and we'll likely see a few showers also in eastern Wisconsin. This will all occur through the day today. The upper level low is pretty much centered on us at this hour, and we're going to see it spinning around as it continues to move in a general northeastward direction towards southeastern Canada's corn and soybean country. So as we go through the next 24 hours, we'll still be dealing with cloudiness and showers, like I mentioned, in the eastern Midwest. The moisture totals will not be that great, but over the past few days, it's been plenty wet across the Midwest with a lot of 1 and 2 inch amounts reported. Some areas in central Illinois certainly got a break from this particular storm system, but did not do so from previous events. So many areas are wet across the region. But the big news and the good news is that we are going to be transitioning back towards a drier weather pattern for a while. we have one little disturbance that will interrupt things, come up on Monday, maybe beginning as early as Sunday in parts of the southwestern Corn Belt. But on Monday, I think we'll see quite a few areas from Kansas into Ohio and Kentucky, maybe a few areas in Michigan that we'll see some showers. These will be brief and light. It's a very quick-moving disturbance that will produce one day's worth of shower activity and be out of here. We will expect moisture totals from this to run a few hundredths of an inch upwards to five-tenths of an inch, so it will be a bit of a setback on some of the drying that will occur between now and then. After that disturbance leaves, though, we'll see several more days of dry weather for a big part of the Midwest, and the bottom line has to be still an improving trend for most areas, and most of the harvest progress will continue to accelerate in that second week of the two-week outlook, mainly because not only will it be drier bias during that time, but we'll also see a ridge of high pressure building up across the region temporarily. And that will help to force temperatures above average across a fair amount of the region, and that will accelerate the drying. Now, over these next few days, we won't see that kind of warmth, but there will be some warming after today. Today's highs across the Midwest will be mostly in the range of 50s and 60s, mostly upper 50s and lower 60s across a big part of the central and eastern Midwest. Some of the western fringes of the region, out in Missouri and Kansas and points northward to the Dakotas and Minnesota, we'll see temperatures much warmer today, already pushing up into the upper 60s and some lower 70s. Some of that warmth will work its way eastward tomorrow. We'll likely see highs in much of the Midwest running in the 60s and lower 70s, but almost all the 70-degree-plus temperatures will be on the west side of the Mississippi River. And then a reinforcing shot of cooler air will come into play as we move from Friday into Saturday, so many areas in the Midwest will have to wait a little longer before temperatures get a little bit warmer across the region. We'll expect to see the temperatures on Friday running 40s and 50s in the far northwestern Corn Belt, but most of the Midwest will see temperatures in the upper 50s and 60s north and 60s and lower 70s south. We'll turn a little bit cooler on Saturday and Sunday, both days 50s and 60s dominating a big part of the region. Our low temperatures at night over these next few nights will be mostly dropping back into the 40s, but as we get into that weekend cool-off, we'll see some 30s occurring across many areas, maybe even a few upper 20s in some of the northernmost parts of the region. The bottom line, though, is still pretty darn good, at least for the next 10 days coming up once we get this precipitation out of the Midwest today. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter December wheat is 5.91 up 3/4. Soft December 5.09 down 1/4. December corn is 3.55 1/2 down 1 1/2. March 3.68 down 2. May 3.77 down 2. July 3.84 1/2 down 2. November soybeans 9.70 3/4 now 1/2. And it's up 6. January, 9.78 3/4, up 5 1/2. Go out to July at 10.02 1/2, up 5 1/2. December soybean meal, 327.20, up 3.20. December soybean oil, 32.62, down 25. October live cattle, 163.47 1/2, down 87 1/2. October feeders, 236.67 1/2, down 205. And December lean hogs, 93.42 1/2, and they are down 150. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities over in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
About this time of year, usually, if you look at the five-year average, we'd be over about 50% done with the harvest, and we wouldn't be talking about harvest pressure. But that's not the case this year, based on the numbers that we got this morning. So begs the question, is there enough harvest pressure still ahead to challenge the current lows in corn and beans?
I would tend to think that the corn, I'm fairly comfortable that, yeah, we could probably test those lows. The beans, not so sure. We've been sort of hesitant to maybe think about having a harvest low in place since we weren't halfway through harvest. At this particular point in time, I think there's still a lot of crop to be put in the bin or put into storage, and that's going to be a process, especially for corn going forward. The interesting thing, though, is how drawn out this harvest is likely to be. We're going to see a period over the next 10 days where we're going to get some harvesting done. But in the broad strokes, there's a lot of stuff to put away, and it's not been very accommodating as far as Mother Nature is concerned. So I think corn, we could check the lows 325 without too much trouble. Soybeans, I'm not so sure about that one.
November beans, 967. Is that a good price for ketchup sales in your mindset?
Yeah, I would say right now the two things that are happening. The flat price is good, and there's no incentive to store based on the spreads or the carry or the basis. So moving bids or moving beans is the answer, and then probably looking at utilizing our storage a little bit for the corn and placing some hedges in the deferred months where you plan on moving the grain.
If you had to do some marketing for December corn, 554 would represent good value at this point.
Yeah, we've been looking at some retracement levels, thinking, you know, if we could get to those levels, that would be fantastic. You're talking about 354?
Mm-hmm, 354.
Yeah, 354 looks like a reasonable value. We actually had 349 in our scratch bed, got picked up on some stuff yesterday. Anything above that is I think, a little bit of an advantage. We're trading weather right now, and you also look at the fact that your open interest in corn and beans both have declined, especially after yesterday's recovery. That means that it's short covering, not new buying. People are a little bit intimidated by the weather, but they're not really coming in and saying, I want ownership, because most of us realize there's a lot of crop yet to be had.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILO 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.